Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Competent Conversations podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Taekwon Lino, and today we're going to help to enlighten you on the different variables of stress that may be going on in your life. We're going to talk about a couple of dynamics when it comes to stress, also some stressful events that we've gone through and how we've worked through that, and hopefully through our transparency, that can help you to get some insight as to how to navigate through the stress in your life. So, Taekwon, say what's up to the people, man.
How's it going, everybody? Thank you guys for tuning in. And as Bashar said, we're going to get right into this stress episode. Without further ado, I want to just start by saying one of the biggest things that I've seen people stress over is finances. Financial stress is one of those big things where, like, everybody, you know, to some aspect, you have some type of financial stress. Whether you have the money and you don't want to spend the money, or whether you have something you need and you can't afford to get it, there's always a stress somewhere along the lines of that.
I can relate with that firsthand, man. I just want to okay. So I could definitely relate to that because some of you who may have been following what I'm doing, I've really been taking this entrepreneur journey very serious lately. And it was always serious, but it's like really embodying that lifestyle by deciding like, hey, I'm not going backwards. I'm not going back to a 9-to-5 job that makes me not feel full. It really feels like I'm suffocating in life when I'm carrying out someone else's mission opposed to the one that I believe I've been sent here to unfold. So with that being said, you know, my business is growing steadily and it's a life coaching business where I'm helping individuals become free, live a life of freedom through a sense of healing, purpose, and fulfillment. And again, like me putting myself out there every day, I'm going to different agencies and companies and trying to establish partnerships. And with the few that I have, I am able to get by. But it's like I would be lying to you guys if I don't say I sit here and I wish that I could have, you know, the things that make me live life comfortably, like the things that maybe a job would provide for me right now. If I'm just looking at the glimmering object that seems so tempting that, you know, if I just go and give into it, you know, maybe I can get some quick gratification of money, but in the long term, it's not going to help me feel fulfilled in my soul. So it's like choosing not to go ahead and grab that temptation or go after that temptation, because it's like I see the long-term objective. So that requires what? It requires sacrifice. So sometimes there is some financial stress there because it's like you're not going to get a dependable every 2-week check, but what you sacrifice by not going to that job, or what you gain, I should say, from that sacrifice is now you get to you know, have the time to go ahead and build something that you want and go out and make these partnerships. And you have to be patient in that process. And even though the stress is looming over my head, I kind of try to ignore it or at least soothe it by reminding myself what I'm going after to accomplish.
Yeah, I think when you go ahead and chase that dream, right? The one thing you have to realize is that the money is going to come eventually. As long as you have a product or a service that's valued high in spirit, the money is going to come, right? Because you got to put all your faith and all your passion, all your efforts into this. And this goal. But a lot of times people, they start these endeavors with the idea of how much money they're going to make. And that's all they see is the money. Mm-hmm. They don't see the, I want to say like the value of giving something else to somebody else that's intangible, right? So life coaching, the service, it's intangible. They can't touch that service. What you're giving them is something that they can believe in and something that's going to carry them throughout the rest of their life. A lot of people, a lot of people just want to go ahead and get the money because we look at these celebrities, we look at idols and all these other rich people in our life and on TV and stuff like that. And we're just like, yo, I want to be them. Oh, I wish I had money for this. I wish I had money for that. And we don't understand that. Sometimes you got to just believe in yourself and that everything's going to work out. Also, this is just part of being spiritual, like, you know, believing in God. God will never steer you down a path that you're not capable of handling, right? So the money will come. It's not always the money that you need. And I want to say for me personally, when I was going through whatever financial stresses I've had, I realized that it wasn't more so about how much money I'm making and what I'm spending. It's more so about like the budgeting aspect, right? and separating your wants and your desires away from your actual needs,
Absolutely.
right? So once I started like looking at my budget, that's where you first start at. You start with the budget and you look at what's coming in and what needs to go out. I look at the expenses that are variable. These are the expenses that are like fast food. Like, why am I stopping there? Can I control that? You know, how much am I going to spend there? I don't know. It depends on my cravings at the time. Versus your fixed expenses, which are like the mortgage, the car payment, the insurance. These are the set expenses every month. So you take your income and you take the fixed expenses, and then you see what other income you have, which is called your disposable income. And that's what you're able to work with for variable expenses. Once you look at your disposable income, I want to say take some of that away and put it to a savings account for yourself. I try to take away 20% out of every paycheck I get, and that's like it's like my personal fund right there. 20% adds up really fast. And what I've noticed was once I've had this savings account already established, I was more comfortable and just living life. That financial burden was relieved. I no longer had to worry about, oh, I don't have money to make these bills because I had the money already saved. So bills, they come and go. Money comes and goes, but my stress is now reduced. I don't have to worry about that anymore.
I hear what you're saying, and financial problems or struggles, they're definitely something that can add to someone's stress because it's a means of survival. Like, it's a tool that we use to get what we need and like to sustain even the most basic things. And I would say, how you said something about the spiritual journey where it's like it's not always about the money, trying to help someone change their thinking from being stressed about money. It's more so about, what you're doing. And like I encourage people to, if you really want to, let's say you want to make money through your own means, like, and again, this episode is not focused on money, but since we're on this topic for a minute, I just want to say something that could be a useful tip in that category. So, like, going again, you got to shift your mindset from thinking of money, because if you're thinking about money all the time and you're scared of not having enough and not having enough money, that thinking alone is what sets you up for poverty. It's a rule in Think and Grow Rich. It's one of the fears that block you to success, because when you think in that poverty mindset, once you get some money, you're going to start spending it on things that you may not even need, but you're thinking of, I want to get this, I want to get this, I want to get that, so that I never don't have enough. And that's going to put you into debt and things of that nature, and just have you in a consumer mindset where you can easily be manipulated by an ad or a commercial or something that just looks good when you see it in the store, because you're going to think, I have to have it, I have to have it, because you're fearful of not having, which literally leads you to not having. So take your mind off of that and focus on what you want to do that makes you feel most fulfilled. And then the money just comes, right? So I even tell people, if you want to be an entrepreneur, but you're worried, like, well, I have to make some money to get by because I have a family, or I have a rent to pay, or a mortgage, or I have to just suffice for myself, I would try to work the minimal amount of hours that you can at your current job, and then spend the rest of your time building your business. So, meaning again, sacrifice. It's going to stress you out now, but in the long run, you won't have as much stress when it comes to that realm of financial gain. So, let's say you're working 40 now. Try to work 25 hours if you can. You may not be able to have that Netflix subscription. You may not be able to go out every weekend. There's going to be some things you have to sacrifice, but if you can have enough to get by, that time is so valuable that you, the time that you're putting in, you're that's going to be hours that you're paid for later on. But you have to lay the framework down now, and then you should, the money that you are making, like, that you would have taken and went to the club with, put that to the side. Like how you said earlier, Taquan, like you had the savings. Like, and again, I don't know everyone's financial. If you can work part time to give yourself that time, and if you have like a cushion where you can put like at least a couple dollars aside so that you can license your own business, you can start your own business. You literally, in the big frame of things, sacrifice time at a job that you really didn't care about in order to get time so that you can build your business. And the money that you had that was like a little bit of a cushion, you saved it, you put to the side so that you can go ahead and build your business and license it and pay for the funding in that. Now you have a service or whatever, a trade or tool or something you can bring to somebody else to get you more money. And eventually that will that will supersede the job, and you can leave the job altogether. So, and again, you may have to work full-time hours for a minute to put that money to the side, but just strategize a plan, and maybe those tips will help to relieve your financial stress and really just your self-identity, which after you make your point, Taquan, I think we should kind of transition into that type of stress where it's like personal identity. There's things that kind of jeopardize how we feel about ourselves that can that we got to work through in life.
Yeah, I was actually gonna say that when you said formulate this plan, I like that, and I wanted to capitalize that on a little bit more. So, anytime we have a stress in our life, we have to identify what kind of stress it is, and then the root core of that problem, and then how can we stop from stressing, right? That's the plan of execution. So, we just talked about financial stress because that's like one of the big things, in my opinion. But I also want to talk about the physical stress. So physical stress is one of those things where initially, as humans, our stress levels would be in that fight or flight mode. That would be our response. That was what stress was back in the day before we had evolved. We still have certain levels of physical stress. There's weightlifting. That's a physical stress. You're putting a physical stress on your body, right? There's other forms of that. But the biggest thing today are the mental stresses. The mental stresses are the overthinking aspects of life where we think somebody's judging us, or we feel like somebody shouldn't be doing this, or we feel like we're doing the wrong thing, or whatever. That self-talk, with all the thoughts that are in our head, they cause us to stress more than we realize. A lot of times when people are trying to lose weight, they look at their life and they look at their diet and their exercise routine. But sometimes it just doesn't work out for them because of the stress. And stress has a way of shutting down the body from relieving all that fat and all the cortisol buildup. So I want to say, like, let's get into that side of things, like the mental stress aspect, if you want to get into that as well with the self-identity.
Yeah, I think the mental aspect that kind of complements the self-identity issues that go along with mental stress. So, this could be a traumatic situation. Let's say someone could have been sexually abused, someone could have been abused violently, someone can just be playing this mental game where, like, they've let negative self-talk get into their head for whatever reason. But the thing is that whatever the cause, you're stressing about something because you just can't let it go. There's something about it that says, I can't not pay attention to this thing. And with you paying such heavy attention to it through your thoughts and concentrating on it, you're building up other beliefs to it. So if it's sexual, let's say now you're saying, you're thinking of it because it's like, oh, I'm really not worthy, or I'm vulnerable at all times, or, I feel like I'm less of a person, or something of that nature. Or if it was a violence thing, and let's say you got attacked in front of other people, like that makes you say, like, I have no, my maybe my social standing, like, I'm a loser now, and I'm like, I'm weak. And there's a lot of things that you may attach to the event, but the basis that you need to understand is that even if it's verbal abuse, which can mess with your negative self-talk, there was something that happened that is so crucial and detrimental for you that you just can't work through it. You can't let it go. Or I should say, not saying that you can't work through it. You just can't let it go, and you need to work through it in order to be able to let it go. And even if these thoughts pop in your head, you can be mindful, meaning that you're aware of how your brain works, but you don't become of those thoughts. Just like your heart is going to beat, your mind is going to think of stuff. Your mind is always going. It's a computer-like system, and it's continuing to like just have stuff and operations going on in that domain. Your job by being mindful is you can observe those thoughts, but that doesn't mean you have to commit to those thoughts and say that I am these thoughts. Your thoughts are going to happen, and it's like once you've processed the trauma or whatever thing that is giving you a heavily stressful mindset, it's like you can step back and observe it and say, okay, I see these thoughts lurking, but I'm gonna acknowledge them and then move past them, let them fade away. Because if you don't pay attention to them and latch on to it, the brain does what it does continuously, and it just moves on to the next thing. So it'll just move away and float away, and then the next thing will pop up. And your self-identity, your core, your intuition, the part of you that is operating through the unconscious brain, But it's also merged with the conscious brain, more so the prefrontal cortex that can make sense out of things. The things that make sense to you automatically and also make logical sense, that's your intuition. And that's what's most aligned with your identity and who you truly are. So when those thoughts pop up in your mind, you'll identify them and know that, okay, yeah, oh, okay, I just caught something out of the pool of thoughts that actually resonates with me. I want to hold on to that one. I want to keep thinking that one. Up, oh, that one right there. No, I don't like it. That's not me. Up, oh, let it float. You know, the next one, okay, boom, that's me. So then you're building your self identity and a strong one as well that that really signifies who you are.
Yeah, I want to say that, with the self-talk, we have so many thoughts going through our mind throughout a day. We have about 2,000 thoughts an hour, and a lot of times we find ourselves in a situation where we may be like 25, 28, whatever, and we have this negative self-image about ourselves. The problem is, ever since you were maybe 16, you may have had this low self-esteem. And all these thoughts every day, every hour, they keep building up until you actually are confident that you have this negative image of yourself. And that's hard to combat. The only way to combat it is to constantly reinforce these negative thoughts with positive thoughts. And it's super hard, but you gotta have like these positive affirmations. You gotta start believing in yourselves because the damage is halfway done, but you can always reverse it. A lot of times people don't realize that. And even though, like, you may hear it all the time when girls be like, oh, I don't really feel so pretty, but she might be like the prettiest person in the world, right? What happens is they don't look at themselves like that because they feel a different way inside. They have these different thoughts and they feel like they have these flaws that shine brighter than a normal person would realize. So therefore, they don't feel as attractive, right? It's the same thing about our actions and our emotions and everything else that we do. We don't feel the same way that we should about certain things. Just a quick sidebar, like recently, this is one of the topics that I've talked about in the last podcast with Eminem, but he's one of the best rappers alive, but to this day, he doesn't feel like it. He still goes hard every day to prove that he's the best rapper alive. And we look at him like he's crazy because he's ac accomplished so much already. Like you have these accolades, but yet you're still trying to prove something to the world. With that in mind, we should try to do that same thing with our thoughts. If we feel negative towards them, we should be trying every day to work hard to reinforce it and put a positive spin on it. You know what I mean? Like, don't just settle because the effect is already done. The math is already there. Like, nah, keep pushing yourself further so that we can overcome this stress. Because ultimately, that's what holds us back in life. We look at the pictures we put on Instagram, we look at the posts we put on Facebook and all this stuff. It don't get a certain amount of likes, we get stressed and we need that affirmation from other people, like, oh yeah, you did something good. You did something to validate your existence type of thing. You know what I mean? But like at the end of the day, we need to kind of escape from that and then just like reform our own train of thought to what we truly believe.
Right, absolutely. And like kind of what you said, well, directly with what you said is like if you're really going through some serious stress, it's most likely a disorder, meaning that I don't want you to feel like, oh, I'm sick now, or I'm just different, or I'm like, I can never be healed in that sense. But it's a problem that means obviously just what does that mean? It just means that there's a lack of order. There was some disorganization that happened in your mind that is a true complication for you. So if you're not staying on top of it, easily it can slip in right from underneath your feet and just knock you off course, right? So you have to, even if you're having these good moments, be aware of keeping yourself in that zone, in that mode, in that resourceful, beneficial, vital, happy, fulfilled, purposeful mindset, because easily these thoughts can creep back in your mind and you'll like say, oh, I haven't thought that in a while. Or yeah, let me go back to that place for a minute. Let me reminisce for a minute. And then that minute turns into another week that you're in that mood, another month, and then you've lost all the things that helped you get out of that. So when you do find the healthy tools that help you get out of a stressful state, you want to go ahead and try to maintain that state, because that's when you're going to be most productive. Because when you're stressful, I mean, when you're stressed and you're not feeling your best and you're thinking of the past, your productivity slows down, your doubt of yourself increases, You're just not fully seizing the moment in your life, and you're just stuck. So you want to stay on top of the habits that got you to that liberating place. And even if you're having good days and good weeks, be cognizant that this is a daily effort. I'm giving myself a daily dose of medicine mentally. You know what I'm saying? I'm checking up on myself. If journaling helps to get you through, you're still journaling. You're still exercising if that helps you with your stress. You're still having good conversations with people close to you. Like whatever it is that helps you stay in that good space, don't think, oh, I got it now. I've been feeling good for 2 days or a week and I'm good. No. If you pray, stay in prayer. Stay, you know, all the things that help you get there are the things that's going to help you stay there and keep you secure mentally. So I just suggest that you stick with it.
Definitely, I feel that. So I guess in a way you're talking about ways of coping with the stress and sticking to trusting the process in a sense, you know, because nothing's going to be changed overnight. Everything is always a work in progress. We're work in progresses of ourselves with every aspect of life. We're never going to be perfect, but a trying person is better than somebody who doesn't try at all. So some of the ways you can help cope with stress would be like, obviously, like we said, talking to yourself in that positive manner with the daily affirmations or positive affirmations. But also, sometimes it's just eating healthy, right? I remember, and Rashard, I'm just going to throw your information out there. When you was doing the vegetarian diet, right? You did the vegetarian diet, and the first thing I thought was just like, you know, that's absurd. I don't think I will be able to ever do something like that. The problem was, I immediately thought something negative. I was like, I can't, I won't, it's impossible for me. And that's just like one of those emotional stresses right there. Like, I just couldn't find myself to be in a positive mindset to accept that. But I said, you know, I'm not going to hate. I wish you the best of luck, right? You did it and you told me about your experience. I think you even kept a journal. If not, it was like a mental journal. And I remember you saying like you felt a little bit healthier, you felt lighter, you felt like you was able to accomplish much more, you were thinking
For sure.
clearly. And a year or two later, I started a pescatarian diet. Now it's not as severe or as far as in terms of like what you can and cannot eat. So I had less limitations of what I could eat, but at the same time, I was working out a lot more. So I had to get like protein from somewhere besides vegetables. So that's why I chose a pescatarian diet. But you're right. I did think clearer. I did feel lighter. I felt like I was able to accomplish much more. And what truly happened was the diet. I realized once getting into it was just like, yo, I eat cookies, I eat ice cream, I eat chips. And I started like taking everything down by 1 week. So 1 week, no cookies, 1 week, no chips. 1 week no ice cream, and now I'm 3 weeks in without three things of bad food. Next one is like, all right, let me take the cream out the coffee. Next one, let me take the sugar out the coffee. And next thing you know, I'm really ready to just start this diet all the way. And all these things that I thought were impossible were now just opening up and showing me that, yo, the world is literally at my fingertips. The world is in my hand. I can do whatever I want as long as I have the mind state for it. So I wanted to say, like, you know, talking to yourself and like maybe having that healthy, balanced diet would help you accomplish much more and cope with stress, as opposed to just, and it's also like maybe even when you eat your food at too, like if you're eating a healthy meal at the table, as opposed to taking a burger from a fast food restaurant and shoving it down while you're in the car, you know what I mean? Like things like that, or exercising as well, getting sleep, these things that help you cope with that stress. I think, at the same time, you stopped drinking, right? When you did the vegetarian diet?
Probably did.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, when I was, yeah, because I know back then I was smoking a lot of weed. I was drinking like on the weekend. So like I definitely, when I was doing the vegetarian, I wasn't smoking for like, I didn't smoke for like a year. Like it was just like there was nothing going on. So like that drinking, I drank, but it was to a minimum. It was to a real minimum. Like every now and then I would, because I was in college, so every now and then I would. But it was like I had cut everything else out that was maybe toxic to my body. So yeah, I had like I put a lot on my plate at one time, and it was like, all right, dang, this is hard at first, but after a while it became second nature, and I started looking at what am I gaining now opposed to what am I losing. Now, I wasn't stressing about, oh dang man, I want that cheeseburger. Like every now and then, it would be like someone to show you a menu, like, oh, we about to go get these wings tonight. I'm like, oh yeah. Oh wait, I don't eat meat. Like you forget, you have those little moments or something, or like you have a craving here and there. Like it becomes so second nature after that first month or two that you're like, I don't even think of it no more. It's just like I know what I eat, I know what I don't eat. And the thing is that it also regulates your stress because you got to think what your diet is. Your body more than one time a day. You're doing this thing regularly. Your body continuously consuming this thing around the clock every day you wake up. So if you're putting great stuff into your body, there's no rocket science that your mind, your body is going to change. It's going to feel better. It's going to feel or worse depending on what you're putting in it because you're putting that in several times a day. I know even today, though I'm not a vegetarian today, if I'm eating a lot of sugary foods or like crappy foods, I feel it automatically. I look in the
You
mirror,
feel
I
like
look
sluggish
bad.
and stuff.
I feel sluggish, tired. My mind is cloudy because like all those carbs, those simple carbs of sugar and bread and stuff. Like, and I'm not saying all bread is bad, like whole grain and like wheat bread. I'll have that near, here and there, but like it's just like no, it's just like when I'm eating right, even though it's meat, if it's like grass fed, if it's cooked food, if it's a vegetable with it and a or some good potatoes with it, like I'm good. But if I'm eating some nasty or not nasty, because if it was nasty, I wouldn't eat it. But if it's something that tastes good but isn't good for me, I feel it right away. So your body is sensitive to that. You gotta look at stress on multiple layers, as we spoke. That could be financially, that could be physically, that could be emotionally and mentally, and it could be even in your diet. Stress can come knocking on your door from many different domains, and you have to be on top of that so that you can be the most vital, happy, fulfilled, and liberated version of yourself.
Definitely, definitely. I wanted to add on that if we are being honest, there's a lot of stress that comes from the workplace, right? And a lot of times people say, I don't need a vacation. And there's 52 weeks in a year, right? A lot of times these people will go like, oh, I'll take a 1 week vacation. That 1 week, it's not going to reset everything. You just kind of move yourself from the situation that's causing you distress for a certain time period, 7 days or whatever. But you still have stress when you're packing the bags or when you're traveling. When you come back to the workplace, you still have the stress in your brain and you didn't really solve the problem. So what we have to start thinking about is let's not use the breaks in between certain activities as like the cure. Let's also look at how can I, if my work is stressful throughout the whole day, how can I take breaks maybe without that within that day as well? So it adds up cumulatively. You know what I mean? So like if you are at work and you have an 8 hour day, can you fit in a couple extra bathroom breaks or a couple breaks away from the computer or whatever activity? Can you like break yourself away from that? And then ultimately they cause stress like the silent killer. So if the job is what's really stressing you and you cannot control what's going on, maybe you gotta like find a new career path or something else that works for you because you're gonna have to care about yourself more than anybody else. The job is not gonna say, hey, you look stressed out, go home early. They care about their numbers and their production, right? So we gotta start being better, thinking bigger, and starting to see the wide picture of how we can maintain a certain status in health.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. Like that complements what we said earlier, as far as like you said, there's 52 weeks. Every one of those weeks, you're working a job you don't like. 1 week out of 52 is not going to solve the problem. Actually, it makes it worse because you may go away for a week and have a great time, and then come back to a place and you're like, "Yo, I hate this place. This is worse than I thought." Like it's now that I've seen like what fun really feels like, or like I got that moment to feel free for a while. So that's why I strongly encourage people to, since we're all put here to work, we're all put here for a purpose, and we're all here to contribute to society in some way. You have to make your work very like enjoyable. Like work is going to be work, even if you're an entrepreneur or you're doing something you love. There's going to be a part of it, a part of that process that you probably don't like or don't favor as much. But overall, you have to work a job or start your own business in something that you love, that you really love to do, because you're going to be doing that more than anything throughout the year. Let's think about it. You spend 8 hours sleeping, 8 hours working, and then the other 8 hours is whatever else you do, like hanging out with people that you like, or you may be working on your work. Like, there's a lot of stuff you're going to be doing, but a huge amount of time. And 8 is a minimum because people work more than 8 hours in different situations. So the work is something you're going to, is going to be a huge part of your life. Let's say at least a third, more towards a half of your life is going to be spent doing work. If you do not like the work that you do, what type of life does that provide for you? Does it provide a liberating, free, purposeful, fulfilled lifestyle, or does it provide a hell that you can't stand? You got to ask yourself that. And based on that answer, you got to start making moves. Like Taquan and I offered you guys financial advice because money isn't everything, but it makes things easier in the world that we live in. And if you go ahead and make a plan for yourself, even if you don't change overnight, you can make a change overnight where you're like, okay, I'm going to start putting this amount away because it's adding up to my freedom. It's adding up to what I want to do. Again, whether that's starting a business, even if that's working less hours at your current job, getting a part-time position so that you can put more hours into building a legacy for yourself and your family, that's what you got to do. If you can't, you got to cancel that Netflix account. You can't hang out with the boys. You can't, buy all the extra things that you want to buy. You can't go shopping for a while for clothes. Okay, it is what it is. You want the superficial or you want the deeper fulfillment. Make that sacrifice and your stress levels will go down, which what adds to years of your life too, because stress kills. Stress is the root of diabetes. Stress is the root of cancer and
Heart attacks,
diseases,
a lot
heart
of
attacks, is
things.
a lot of diseases. So you got to understand what type of beast we're dealing with when it comes to stress, and also the power that you have to go ahead and make that change or those adjustments in your life to minimize your stress. And one last thing is when you have stress based on problems you created, you can deal with the stress a little more. It actually feels a little better when you have that stress because you're like, I created this problem and it's something that I want to solve. Sometimes life, you know what gives life meaning? I've heard different psychotherapists explain this. What gives life meaning is worth solving, because if we optimize for just happiness and just say, hey, I want to be happy in life, that's the goal, you're going to be disappointed. Because guess what, guys? If you guys, I mean, alive long enough, you know that life is not full of happiness, because there's situations that'll just flatten you out and make you just dead pissed off, right? So yeah, it is good to have happiness in life, but you can't say life is all happiness. What makes life worth it is having a problem that's worth solving, something time and energy that is interesting and intriguing enough to you that you're willing to go on the journey with this thing, and you're going to have joyful times and challenging times, but you do eventually solve the problem, and that brings you the happiness, that brings you the joy, and then there's going to be another thing to solve. So if you can create your problems at least and not be worried about and working on problems you don't care about, aka a job you don't like or dealing with someone you don't want to deal with, it be problems you want to solve, because there will be problems, but it feels better when they're the ones you created.
Yeah, definitely. I just wanted to add on that when you said the change, you can't change immediately overnight, but you can change a thing overnight. That just goes back to like that diet I was saying, like taking one thing away a week. But it also reinforces the idea of discipline. If you have the greatest intention of doing something, then stick to your guns and make it happen. If you want to create a change overnight, that's fine. Do that and then make sure you stick to it. Remember that everything kind of comes back to like that staircase mentality where you can't just go up a flight of stairs in one huge leap. You got to incrementally get to the top. So don't be like overwhelmed by the amount of things you want to change or the amount of stresses or stressors in your life that you want to change, because we have multiple forms of stress. It's not just one. You can't change everything at one time because it'll create such a shocking response that you're going to more than likely relapse into the old habits. You have to work incrementally and progressively to make those changes happen. More so than not, it is possible, but alone. But if you need somebody for help, you can always contact a life coach. You can talk to a psychologist, a counselor, family, friends, anybody that can help you cope with this stress, because sometimes we can't do it by ourselves. Sometimes we need extra help, and there's nothing wrong with asking for help. At the end of the day, you're here to serve yourself, and nobody else is going to do that besides you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like Taquan mentioned, you can reach out to a life coach. So shameless plug, I am a life coach, guys. I started my own program a few months back, but I've been working in the field for the past 10 years. And I learned a lot in that. I developed an eclectic approach where I'm taking a lot of tools that I've learned either from studying the field or working in the field and my own life experience, and things that worked or helped to work through anxiety, trauma, anxiety, stress, even trauma, depression. And also, how did I find my purpose through my trauma? That's what a lot of people aren't telling you or teaching you about, that what is really trauma if you lean into it, or what is, these disorders, if you lean into it and hear what it's trying to tell you, you may actually mess around and find a purpose through it. Or if you already have a sense of purpose and you got these blocks that are going on internally, how do we work through that to get you to live that life of purpose and fulfillment? So that's what I do. And if you guys are interested in anything that I have to share with you, you can email me at ffclifecoaching@gmail.com. And you can also go on rishneal.com where you can sign up to my email list, and I send you things regularly, whether that's a document I read or something I put together that was on my mind that's going to help you guys to get some knowledge to work through your specific situation. We also have the link to the podcast on that website, and you can hear all our episodes, because we know that people are diverse and complex, and you guys are struggling, and I say you guys, but us as well, obviously. That's why we started this podcast, struggling with a multitude of things. So we're putting out content so that we can attack or approach a bunch of different areas in life so that we can help the person out there who may feel like they got the world on their shoulders with no support, and they just need someone to meet them where they're at and help them work through a certain scenario. So listen, we don't know it all, obviously, but we know enough to want to help people. We want to take what we did learn in our life and share it for anyone that needs to hear something. It can be the smallest thing that we say, and that could make you like switch your brain thinking, switch the way you're approaching a certain situation. So, yeah, take on something you want to say, kind of
I think we're pretty
leave
much
them
at
with.
the wrap-up stage right now. I mean, I'm cool with wrapping it up. We could just go out and give out the information for the podcast. So the podcast can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. There's a couple other platforms you can use, like Overcast and Radio Public. You can find me on Facebook, Taekwon Lino. Instagram is All I Do Is Fit. Snapchat is All I Do Is Fit. My email address is All I Do Is Fit at gmail.com. And my website is alladoisfit.net. And again, the podcast episodes are there as well. Sure, you give out your IG and your Snapchat, and I think we're good to go.
All right, and like you said, so when you're looking for the podcast conversations, for those who may have forgot from how we, from what we said when we opened, but yeah, Competent Conversations is the podcast that you can find on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and you can find me personally on Instagram at Rashard.Neal. You can find me on Rashard Neal. You can find me on Snapchat, Rashard.Neal. YouTube, Rashard Neal as well. The website, rashardneal.com. I told you the email, but I'll tell you again. It's ffclifecoaching@gmail.com. And if you click on my Instagram, you can still get to me. That's novi@rashardneal.com. So again, we just hope you guys got something from this conversation that we had. Talk about all the time, but we always wanted to put a couple more listening ears in on our conversation because we feel like someone can benefit, and we shouldn't just be selfish and hold these ideas to ourselves. So, like always, guys, we appreciate you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.